Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
The 466th edition of the MMA Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is brought to you by Hall of Fame Bets, the sports betting research platform for parlays, player props, and game lines. Download the Hall of Fame Bets app or visit hofbets.com and use promo code SGPN to get 50% off your first month and start making smarter bets today.
Heidi ho, Degenerinos, and welcome to episode 466 of the MMA Gambling Podcast and the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. Episode is going out to my mother-in-law, whose birthday is today. I am one of your hosts, the one who likes their in-laws. I would be Jeff Chalkbox. Thanks for coming to the show. I'm not saying anything about my other. I'm just saying I'm one of the hosts that do like their mother-in-laws. I don't like UFC Vegas 83. I didn't like it very much at all. Don't really want to do today's episode because I didn't do so well last night. I didn't do so great the week before either. But at least my co-host did just as poorly as I did. So actually, technically, I did better than him. So let's bring him in. We'll talk about the train wreck that was our picks last night at UFC. Fight Night Song versus Gutierrez. Hello, Mr. Gumby Vreeland.
Yeah, they weren't the best picks, especially on the money line. But I will say it feels like in a couple of those, if you just swung the decision the other way, which I think there was a good argument to swing a couple of those split decisions the other way, I think you wind up with what, like a 7-5 night or something like that, and it feels a lot better.
6-5, yeah. 6-5 is better than 4-7 for sure.
Yeah. So like those split decisions could have gone the other way. And also I will just say some like very weird outcomes on this fight card. I'll save it for the individual ones, but there were like some very weird happening. You know, like just for instance, Tetsuya Taira, we had him right. My prop was him by submission. When did he get hands like that? You know what I mean? Yeah, exactly. Like, you know, Nasrat Haqparast.
Submission was very close. Yeah. Submission was very close still. Yep.
Nasrat Haqparast hasn't knocked anybody out in 5 years. What does he do?
Yeah,
he
you goes mentioned in that.
Yes.
You told all of our listeners that.
And he hadn't done that. So, it is what it sort of is what it is. But, you know, we learn and we move on.
Do we learn anything, though, Gumby? Can you really learn with this random sport that we follow?
I think there were things you could learn from this event.
Well, good. Let's learn some things then about last night, shall we? It was UFC Fight Night Song versus Gutierrez, aka UFC Vegas 83. I'm not doing a big introduction here because let's just get this one out of the way and in the can, all right? Because it wasn't a 10-2 week for Gumby, so there's no reason for us to drag this one out at all. It was in the UFC Apex. It was supposed to be in China. They moved it. We never heard why they moved it, did we?
Nope.
Secret. Top secret reason that they moved it. But it was still an Asian fighter heavy card as I play around with the light here to try to get the best lighting. All right. Main event was Song Yadong taking care of Chris Gutierrez, which we were in on the big underdog Gutierrez. Didn't look so hot last night. Didn't really get it going at any point. 50-44, 50-45, 50-45. I did have this fight going the distance as my prop bet, plus 108. So I was happy it went the distance. Wasn't happy with the performance we saw out of Chris Gutierrez, though.
I was, and this brings me back to talking about having just like weird results and not seeing some things coming. Did you really think Song Yadong was going to be as wrestle heavy as he was? Because, I mean, at the end of the day, it sort of makes sense that he shot as many takedowns as he did and had as much control time as he did. Because, like, you're fighting Chris Gutierrez, a guy who notoriously throws a lot of kicks, easier to counter into takedowns and easier to counter into trips. And then in addition to that, I mean, Song Yadong kind of always had sneaky wrestling, which I feel like we maybe forgot going into this fight. You know, like the Kyler Phillips fight aside, where he looked kind of terrible grappling. You know, like he's never looked awful grappling before. So like, maybe we should have seen this one coming. But props to him and having a good game plan. He seems to be evolving too.
Yes, definitely evolving. He was the one that was using the leg kicks. We said Gutierrez could have utilized that, and he did not. Gutierrez just really didn't get it going, it seemed.
Well, I think it was because anytime he did throw one, it got caught and he was on his back. You know, like it seemed like it's hard to keep going back to the well when the well has cost you, you know, time in the fight. And you know, then you got to start looking for other things, and clearly they're not as effective. So, I got to give credit to, we don't usually give credit to Team Alpha Male and Uriah Faber for game planning, or at least people being able to stick to their game plans nevertheless. But, I mean, like, they seem to have drawn a really good one up there for Chris Gutierrez.
So what's next for Song Yadong? He looked pretty darn good. Or Yadong Song, excuse me. Do you have an opponent in mind or not?
I'm thinking, because the problem is anytime they've stepped him way up, he's kind of gotten just smashed, right?
Yeah.
You know, like the Corey Sanhagen fight was enough to say, like, I don't need to see him against anybody in the top five. Let me pull up the bantamweight rankings here. Hang on 1 second. This makes for good radio, right?
Yeah. We have loyal listeners. They don't care.
Yeah. They like hearing us kill time. Let's see. Davison Figueiredo makes sense.
Yeah, sure.
I mean, like, I guess you could run him against him. Is Piotr Jan officially retired yet, or is he still around? Like,
is he retiring? I didn't hear that.
I don't know. I just haven't heard anything about him in a minute. And, like, everybody's fantasy matchmaking that top five as if he doesn't exist, right? You know, yeah, Marab's getting Cejudo, and Vera's getting O'Malley, and Sterling's going up a weight class, and everybody's got an idea for what Corey Sanhagen should do next. Figueiredo just inserted himself. Nobody says a damn thing about Piotr Jan. So, I mean, like, Piotr Jan or Davison Figueiredo would both be good fits in my opinion, for Song Yadong.
I actually just saw Piotr Jan do a face-off with Conor McGregor. Yeah, so I guess that's the next fight, apparently.
Conor McGregor looks like he weighs a buck 85.
Oh, at least, yeah. Okay, you mentioned the Cejudo Marab fight that got announced. Want to give quick thoughts on that?
I think Marab is enough like Aljamain Sterling that his wrestling is going to tire out Henry Cejudo in his advanced age. That's my quick take in that. I don't think he's as good of a striker as Aljamain Sterling, which might make this fight closer. But, you know, like that. And I don't know if it was just a long layoff for Cejudo before he fought Aljamain, but like that fact that Aljamain sort of just warmed down and outworked him, and it seemed like he had twice the gas tank. Well, nobody's got a better gas tank than freaking Marab. Marab is, I mean, he's insane the way that he moves. So, we don't need to belabor the point. We'll get to that one. What is it? February?
Yeah. Look, this is going to be the quick take episode because no one wants to hear this. Co-main event. This one we got right. Nailed it. Khalil Roundtree pieced up Anthony Smith on the feet and ended up TKOing him with punches. Had him doing a funny little dance on the feet before he finally collapsed. Third round, 56 seconds into it. He probably could have finished him earlier, but he was being it seemed cautious. Like, he had him on skates before and he just kind of stood there and watched him skate around. But regardless, we have Roundtree, and we have Roundtree both as our lock of the week at minus 240.
Yeah, shout out to Roundtree for not following up with a punch on that one, too. He just kind of, like, picked his hammer fist up and just was like, if you want me to hit him, I'll hit him. But, like, I'd much rather you just stop this fight. And he just let him, like, wiggle around on the mat like a worm until they finally called it. Exactly what we thought. Anthony Smith should not be fighting top 10 guys with punching power anymore. Never mind on 5 days notice, which is why even at negative 250, Roundtree was probably being a little bit undervalued.
Yep. All right. Mini Kelvin Gastelum screwed us over here. The honorary Canadian came through. TKO punches Jamie Mullarkey. He really put it on him on the feet. We didn't predict this coming. Minute 44 into the first round. We were in on Mullarkey as a dog.
Yeah, I said I thought, you know, Mullarkey he's gotten a lot better game planning wise, but it seemed like he had some sort of issue with finding the range on Hakparast, which is weird to me because Hakparast doesn't particularly seem to fight all that long, and it doesn't seem like a difficult thing. And then I said, you know, Mullarkey, the only real worry about him that I said before was his chin, and that I didn't think it'd hold up, or I did think it would hold up against somebody like Hakparast, who has it. notoriously been a KO artist, but it turns out his chin is actually that cooked at this point.
Yep. Fade Jamie Mullarkey going forward. Is that what we took from this fight?
Against anybody with punching power who wants to box him, for sure. Yeah, I kind of wonder what's going to go on with that chin at this point in time. And he took four fights in a year. I don't know if that wore him down a little bit, but one of them was a knockout on short notice against a much smaller guy, too. You know, a guy who usually fights at 45. So that's obviously some, like, warning sirens there.
Anything positive about a hack press after this or not?
He's just kind of who we think he is. Just like, I guess had a little bit more punching power, or the chin was a little weaker. So if we attribute Jamie Mullarkey's chin to being even a little weaker than I thought it was, then no, Hawk Frost is just kind of who I think he is.
Yep. He's been around long enough that we kind of have a bead on who he is. We also have a bead on Underdog Fantasy, and we know that Underdog Fantasy is amazing and that they do have a way for you to play alongside your favorite fantasy players all season long. NFL, NBA, NHL, college basketball, college football, MMA. They got it all. Simply pick higher or lower on your favorite player's fantasy stats and cash in. Do you have a play for us, Gumby?
Yeah, give me on Sunday Night Football, give me a Brandon Cooks higher than half a touchdown, either rushing or receiving. I think he's going to find the end zone against the Eagles.
There you go. A homer pick once again for Gumby. So watch along, make your picks, and maybe make a little cash over on Underdog's mobile app or website, underdogfantasy.com. And when you sign up with the promo code SGPN, Underdog will double your first deposit of up to $100. It's Underdog Fantasy, promo code SGPN. All right. If you haven't caught on yet, we have not hit too many picks correct so far, including the next one, Bantamweight. Tim Elliott went against my stats and short notice, looked like normal Tim Elliott. Ended up arm triangle choking Sue Muderji 4-0-2 into the first round.
Do you ever wonder to yourself, and I did this after this fight was over, how good is Tim Elliott? Like,
we'll never know, will we?
I think he might just be one of those people who strictly is a style makes fights guy. Because, like, I thought he would be better than than Muhammad Mukhaev, right? Which we talked about, and he was kind of winning that fight until he got submitted. And then we got the Sue Muderji fight, and I was like, oh, well, you know, he's clearly worse than Muderji if he was worse than Mukhaev. And that just could not have been farther from the truth. He looked great.
Yep, he definitely looked great. So, yeah, I don't know. I don't know what to make out of this. Maybe I guess the bookies knew what they're doing, giving Elliot the minus beside his name instead of a plus. And then the opener of the main card didn't get this one right either, did we? Andre Muniz, actually,
did we though?
Yeah, I know this one was a close one. Andre Muniz, heavy on the grappling, but he did, Jung Young Park, the Aaron Turtle, did a lot of counter grappling himself. It was a split decision, 29-28, 28-29, 29-28. The fans and media are on our side with Park, but it doesn't matter what any of us think. It only matters what the three judges at ringside think, and they think Muniz won.
Yeah, and I know that I think probably the one round that winds up costing him this fight is the first, because he didn't do very much until like that last little tiny bit of that first round. And I thought for sure that was enough to win, because there wasn't much of a difference in the fight before then. And he clearly got the best of that last, you know, what was it, 40 seconds or 30 seconds or something like that. I thought it was enough to win the round. I thought for sure he was about to win 1-3. But yeah, Muniz maybe a little bit better than we think he is. I think this was probably the test we've needed all along for him, because he had fought, and maybe I got to give more credit to Paul Craig again. but like, he fought Paul Craig and Brendan Allen, and we were like, okay, well, he can't hang at middleweight anymore. Muniz is a bum. And because before we had him pegged as a future champion because he was beating the crap out of people we've never heard of before, Iron Turtle's probably like the right person to decide, like, okay, is he actually decent? And like, he's at least decent, right? Like that's kind of what we get out of this fight.
Yeah, there you go. That's more decent than our picks were, especially for the main card. What were we in the main card? We were 1-4 in the main card, Gumby. Fantastic.
Right on. I
didn't think the prelim it could get worse than it did in the prelims, and it did. It did get worse. All right, let's go to the prelims. This man looked good. He made us look good. In the prelim main event, Kevin Jousset looked really good against Song Kinan. Just super sharp, technical on the feet, 30-27 across the board. Juice, maybe a guy to keep an eye on. Yeah, he looked really good for us at minus 143.
Yeah, I like seeing him fight a longer fight too. You know, I had him pegged originally for a knockout, but at the end of the day, I'm actually kind of glad we got to see what he looks like at the end of a third round. Because to your point, yeah, like I think he might be a guy we have to keep an eye on. He's a French guy, but he trains with all those city kickboxing maniacs. So like I think you can clearly see that style in there, and he does seem to have enough of the other pieces that he should be fine here and should probably take some pretty big steps up.
Yep. Looked very good there. Flyweights. This guy made us look good too. Young Sung Park, TKO knees and punches Shannon Ross. He had him wobbly a bunch of times. As we said, Shannon Ross's chin is
really
cooked.
Bad. It's really bad.
But Park, for his part, Park looked really good in this fight as well. He should have though, minus 590.
Yeah, and I think I called knockout too when we talked about it on Wednesday. And the funny thing is he's not even a knockout artist.
No.
Right. And he's a submission guy, and for some reason the knockout number was better because even Vegas knows that Shannon Ross's chin is crap. That's gotta be the end for Shannon Ross, right? We're not firing anybody else yet, but like
four straight knockouts, yes.
And he didn't win on Contender Series.
Yes. It's for your own good, okay? It's for your own good. We're letting you go. Yeah, I don't think anyone else. Maybe some judges we're gonna cut, but other than that, Anthony Smith, I guess we're not ever gonna get rid of him. So
I think he's inching towards retirement. He can't keep taking punches from these 80 or these 205ers.
No,
like it's just not a good move, man.
Nope. All right, so that was that lightweights. I should have gone to the pick that I flopped to last week, but. It did make sense to pick Steve Garcia here, and especially after him being ill and pulling out last week, but he came through anyhow. Knockout elbows over Melky Costa 101 into the second round. Yeah, Costa did not want to trade with Garcia, which is probably smart. Wanted to get this to the ground, and yeah, he showed why, because he got himself knocked out
The ref did not want to stop it.
No.
Which is a weird move. Also, I will say this. I think, I know for a fact, on Wednesday, I was like, don't pick against Costa because you can't knock out a shoot-the-box guy.
Yes, you did say that. You said that 2 weeks in a row.
I stand by that, by the way, because despite eating like 37 elbows in a row, he was still shooting a mean double leg on the referee afterwards.
He was. he didn't know what he was doing, but yep.
But he wasn't out. You can't put him out.
No, it's true. It is true. Steve Garcia, look out, right? Power.
Yeah,
it's
almost like being on the Top Turtle podcast brought him some sort of special powers.
Yeah. No, he was knocking people out well before that. And then you got a mysterious illness after he talked to you. That's the real history of that. All right. What else we got here? Luana Santos missed weight, cheated, didn't look very good weight wise either. She used to be 125, and then she came in at 139 for this fight against Stephanie Yeager, but put that weight to good use and won 30-27, 29-28 across the board. I thought Yeager was going to dominate her in the grappling, and that did not happen. It was the other way around.
She almost looked like she quit every time she was down. Am I wrong about that?
Maybe, or she was comfortable at least.
Yeah, but like, you're comfortable against somebody who gets submissions when you've been submitted a bunch of times in your UFC career. Like, what are you doing down there? Yeager continues to be one of the more frustrating ones for me. She clearly has a lot of skills in both her takedowns and her submission game. And then she just does really, she beat the future GOAT Aileen Perez, right? I don't know why she's up and down. Do you think they fire her?
I wouldn't think so. Let me see.
It's not a beautiful record.
No, she's lost two straight fights in three or four. Okay, yeah, maybe she's maybe
and,
she's.
And fine. I know they're she's always look. Yeah, I know they're always looking for people in that division, but like, I don't know.
Yep. Okay, what about Santos? Any thoughts on her?
No, were you impressed? I mean, I wasn't really impressed. She's now beaten Stephanie Yeager fighting really terrible fight where I, you know, was kind of half convinced she quit and we're now ready to fire her. And before that, she beat who? Juliana Miller. I don't know.
Yeah.
And I hope they let her fight somebody for real.
Yeah. And she gained 15 pounds between fights too. Which isn't a good look. Yeah.
Doesn't make you scream prospect.
No, it does not. All right. flyweights. All right, maybe we can talk a little bit about this man because he looked good here. Tetsuro Taira TKO punches Carlos Hernandez 55 seconds into the second round. Looks like all the prospect we had hoped and expect him to be, minus 560.
Yeah, he's the real deal. And the thing I like the most about him is, like, it's really easy for a prospect to keep doing the thing that works all the time. And when he has a clear advantage, right? And we said here, Carlos Hernandez might give him a little trouble on the ground, but his advantage is still there. And he, not that he didn't use his ground game, like, we still got to see the best parts of his ground game, but we also got to see him do some really awesome things with his hands. And the finish coming with the hands is, like, maybe the most exciting thing that could happen in that fight for me, because now we can start to talk about him fighting some of these upper echelon guys, fighting maybe the Tim Elliott's of the division, you know, that wouldn't be a bad match to make off of this one. So, like, you know, like, if he was still not really showing very much with the hands, I might second guess letting him step up to something like that. But now that he's showing a little something with the hands, I think you can do that without being too worried about it.
He doesn't turn 24 until January 27th. So the future is bright for Tetsuro Taira. Then in the opener, another fight that we pretty much got hosed in. Hayani Dos Santos, not only does she have a fun name to say, but I think she pretty clearly won this fight. Or at least if you're going to judge the fight as a whole, she won this fight. She definitely looked better than Talita Alencar. But that is, you know, saying either of them look good is maybe a bit of a stretch. But Talita Alencar, nonetheless, got her hand raised, split decision, 29-28, 28-29, 29-28. Neither woman really looks UFC level at this point in my eyes.
Well, and sort of the problem for high-end Amanda is that, like, she's an atom weight. And that, like...
They both are, probably.
Yeah, it's always going to cost her at the end of the day. I don't know. Alencar is just kind of a little thicker. I don't know if she's necessarily an atom weight. But, like... You know, Dos Santos has been at atom weight before. She was just the atom weight champion last fight. So, you know, like, to see her continuously at this weight class is kind of a bummer. I also think she was by far the better of the two fighters. She clearly came out the gate, was like, cool, I put a stamp on round one, and then was like, just never put her foot on the gas again. And it didn't look like a gas tank issue, right? Like, it didn't look like she was tired. It just looked like she was done doing work.
I'm done.
Yeah, it's like I look really good in that first round, though, didn't I? Kind of like one of those things. And it was like, yeah, but then why didn't you put the stamp on the next two rounds? Weird one for me. But even then, I still thought she won. I thought she won 1-3.
Yeah. Not much of a fight anyhow. Not really impressed with either women at this point. Not impressed with our picks. Gumby, we were praising him as a genius. 10-2 last week, 8-5 the week before, 8-4 the week before that. And then he decided to 7-2 the week before that. I could continue. And then he decides to hop on and copy all of my picks. And look what happens. He goes 4-7.
Don't ever trust jocks.
Don't. All right. For the, it's free. How much did we lose? If we bet $100 in every fight, which we did, because we have to do it, we tell all you people to do it, so we have to do it as well. We lost $553.60 on the year. I'm at 59%. Gumby's at 57% for our correctness. Return on investment, minus 7%. Gumby's minus 3.3. So there's not still time. I am not catching up with only one event to go. I did all right with my, we both hit our lock. We said that. We both missed on our dog, which was Sumaderji. Gumby had Taira via submission, which was close because he was fishing for submissions. Yep. Taira via finish would have worked. I had the main event going to decision at plus 108. So I was happy I hit that. So Gumby is still beating me in, let me see, every category there. No, I'm ahead of you in props now, Gumby. Woohoo.
That's your go-to. That's your bread and butter. You love that stuff.
Yeah. It's, always has been. Always has been. All right. We will preview next week's final event on the UFC calendar and the final pay-per-view after I tell you about Hall of Fame bets. Our picks were not Hall of Fame picks, but Hall of Fame bets will get you covered there with, because you win bigger by betting smarter with this NFL season with Hall of Fame bets, the sports betting analytics platform for parlays, player props, and game lines. Research every NFL, NBA, and soccer bet with historical stats and data. Enter any parlay idea in the Hall of Fame bets revolutionary parlay optimizer tool to get hit rates broken down by leg, as well as an expected probability for the entire parlay. Sort all players by hit rate for any bet to learn which players are hot and which picks have value. Stop betting in the dark and join over 30,000 users researching with Hall of Fame Bets to craft more intelligent, data-driven parlays. Download the Hall of Fame Bets app or visit HOFBets.com and use code SGPN to get 50% off your first month today. Start researching, start winning with Hall of Fame Bets.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
All right. Oh, I didn't give you the bonus winners last night. No one won fight of the night. And then we had Roundtree, Hawkprast, Elliott, and Hyunsung Park winning 50K for their performance of the night. So that ends that event. And then we got one more event on the air. UFC 296, excuse me, Edwards versus Covington, December 16th, next Saturday at the T-Mobile Arena in Paradise, Nevada, a.k.a. Las Vegas. All right, let's break down the card quickly, and then we'll get out of your ear holes. Title fights at the top. We got Leon Edwards defending his welterweight title against Colby Covington, the much deserved challenger. And we got flyweight championship Alexander Pantoja versus Brandon Royval in a rematch. And then we got Shavkat Rakhmonov, Stephen Thompson, Tony Ferguson, Paddy Pimblett, Vicente Luque, Ian Machado Gary, the much beloved Ian Machado Gary. So that wraps up the pay-per-view portion, the main prelims. Josh Emmett, Bryce Mitchell, who's stepping in on just over a week's notice. Irene Aldana, Carol Hosa, Cody Garbrandt, like he'll show up, versus Brian Kelleher, Casey O'Neill, Ariane Lipsky. And then early prelims, Alonzo Menifield, Dustin Jacoby, Dajir Ulumbekov, Cody Durden, Andre Feely, Lucas Almeida, Martin Boudet, Shamil Gaziev, and then Randy Brown, Muslim Salikov. A pretty stacked card top to bottom. The UFC must be going out of business, and this is going to be their last card, right? Ever?
No. That's Bellator. Can I tell you something wild that I found out when I was looking at the odds for this at a time? Have you been looking at the odds for this?
No, I try not to until I start making picks.
All right, I want to give you a fun game to play here. I want you to line the Cody Garbrandt versus Brian Kelleher fight.
I knew that was going to be the fight you were going to say.
because you're like, what the hell do I make of this? But like,
yeah, exactly.
I don't know. The line kind of caught me off guard. So go on. What do you got that one at?
I think I'm going to take Kelleher, but am I? Can Kelleher knock him out? What do I think it's going to be?
Yeah, right? What do you think the books have it at right now?
The books probably have Cody Garbrandt minus 150.
Not bad. It's Cody Garbrandt negative 200.
Oh, that's crazy. All right. Well, I think I got an underdog play coming next week.
Yeah. And like, I mean, it's just one of those fights where it's like, if Cody Garbrandt is even like a small piece of what he used to be, he wins that fight. But is he? I think that's kind of that's kind of like the most fun part about this card is there's a lot of like those types of questions. Like, yeah. If Tony Ferguson was 1 ounce of his former interim champion self, he slaughters Paddy Pimblett in a violent way with 100 elbows. He's now training with, I don't know who the guy he's training with is.
But you don't know David Goggins?
No, but there seems to be a lot of jokes about it.
Yeah. He's like an extreme, like just like fitness workout type of guy, which is not what Tony Ferguson needs. Tony Ferguson's already got
it's
that.
Like, it's like he's training with Billy Blanks. Remember the Tai Bo guy?
Yeah, of course I do. No, but this guy's not teaching him any combat. That's the thing. Tony Ferguson does not need better cardio. Tony Ferguson has cardio already.
That's never the problem. It's that his brain has been turned into Swiss cheese. Yeah, I don't think you can train that. It's a weird fight. I am actually interested in what Vicente Luque versus Ian Gary looks like because it's like the first really nice step up for Ian Gary. And obviously his name is like all over the news right now for really weird reasons that I like don't want to dig into. And so, like, that makes the, like, pressure of the fight or the interest of the fight go up, too.
Yep. I can't remember where I saw this, but someone said, we are, or someone, it was a comment on maybe a Chael Sonnen video, which I didn't watch, but someone posted on Reddit. Someone said, Ian Machado Gary so hated right now that we're forgetting Paddy Pimblett's on this fight.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, those are two guys
who
I think I pick against those two guys in spite most of the time. Yeah. They're on cards. Yeah. I can't just bring myself to bet on either of them ever because, you know, they are who they are. And I love Tony Ferguson. I continue to love Tony Ferguson. So
yeah, well, that's your one fault, I guess.
Not for good reasons, but you know, whatever.
No. So solid fight card. We're going to end the year on. Hopefully, we both go. How many fights are on here? 14-0. We're going to copy each other's picks again, right?
Yeah. All right. 14 up there, huh?
Nice. Yeah, for now. Well, you got a Cody Garbrandt fight.
That's true. So 13. That one.
Yeah. Well, I'm not that Kelleher is his fight seemed to be falling through.
Well, he's got like a weird neck issue too. That could be affecting the line actually. Didn't he just have neck surgery?
I think he did. That sounds familiar to me. So we'll see if all these fights come through in the end or not. Next week. In the meantime, you catch us in the Discord. We're at sportsgamblingpodcast.com/Discord. Get in there, chat. Gumby and I were absent last night. I was busy and didn't get a chance to watch the fights until late. And then Gumby was out partying like usual. So we got called out for it for giving out crappy picks and then not showing in the Discord to man up. But anyhow, Discord's fine. Get in there. Twitter is SGP and MMA. Gumby runs that for us. He's at Gumby Vreeland. I'm a Jeff Fox writer on Twitter and on Instagram. He's got the Top Turtle MMA podcast. Make sure you listen to that weekly. I've got my Substack, moneymma.substack.com. Enter it. You can play the very last pick'em contest of the year this week. You can play that for free there. Obviously, we got sportsgamblingpodcast.com and sportsgamblingpodcast.com/Patreon. Usually I say goodbye here, but I forgot I didn't ask him about his hat yet. So we have to do that so Jong's not upset. What's on your hat?
This is the Hudson Valley Renegades, which is a I guess they're like one of those partner league teams now in the minors. And they had a Mexican theme night. This is the Masked Phenoms, except for you got to say it in Spanish. So fantastic. Phenomenos Mesqueros. And so it's a...
There you go.
It's a it's a raccoon in like full superhero gear or maybe luchador gear.
Or lucha, yeah.
It's yeah, lucha. Yeah, lucha.
Lucha-coon, lucha raccoon. Very, very good. So everyone, if you're on YouTube, check that out. And at the very least, go on YouTube and subscribe to our channel. All right, we're going to be back tomorrow. Some LFA action. That's good. LFA has a card next week, and Mondays are reserved for regional MMA for us, so we shall be covering that. And then Wednesday, Thursday, we'll be doing the breakdown of the last UFC pay-per-view of the year. Who will be hosting these shows? It'll be me, the Turkish Delight, Jeff Fox, and Ronnie Shotgun will be Peace of Mind, Gumby Vreeland, and we will see you and talk to you then. Bye-bye.